Herman Woke is a craftsman. He toils quietly and meticulously, sometimes for years, before sending a final manuscript to his publisher. The author of The Caine Mutiny and The Winds of War is 88 years old and doesn't do book tours. But he agreed to discuss his new book, A Hole in Texas. It's his first novel in 10 years and the first with a science theme.
There's this particle, the Higgs boson. A Nobel laureate even called it the God particle. And if we find that, we find out the origin of mass in the universe, because in theory there'd be matter and antimatter.
Woke can explain particle physics, but it takes a while. More important to his story, he says, is the superconducting super collider. Congress approved that massive multi-billion-dollar project to find the Higgs boson and started building in Texas.
And so they started to dig this immense tunnel, which was going to be 54 miles around, in Ellis County in Texas, centered on a town called Waxahachie. And that was going to be the superconducting super collider. It begun under Reagan, continued under Bush Sr., and aborted under Clinton. And when Congress aborted it, they appropriated another $1 billion to shut it down.
And that decision, says Woke, left a big hole in Texas and gave him the idea and title for his book.
It's not a science story. It's a politics story, the interface of science and politics. And what happens is that in the present day, the Chinese get the Higgs boson. This creates a real panic. Whatever it is, the Chinese have got it and we haven't. And why was it aborted in 93? Which party did it? Why did they do it? Was it a conspiracy? Has there been spying around? And that's the story. Because my hero, a nice, quiet, brilliant scientist now working at JPL who put in 5 years on the super collider, had a romance in his youth with a beautiful Chinese physicist when they were studying together, Wen Mei Li. And Wen Mei Li went back to China and disappeared during the Cultural Revolution. And she is the leader of the team that found the Higgs boson.
Yes, your protagonist is Dr. Guy Carpenter.
Guy Carpenter.
You've had all these warriors as your protagonist. Now you have a scientist.
Uh-huh. I met this man. Name was Ray Steining, I hope, if we get my mentioning him, because he was the kicker for the whole thing. When I talked to him about the super collider and his experiences on it for 5.5 years, I had a novel. But I owe him and his experiences the human substance that enabled me to write this story.
So the Chinese get ahead of the U.S., and congressional hearings are held, and Hollywood wants to make a movie. So now you have the collision of Hollywood, Washington, and science.
Exactly so.
Three things you know something about.
Well, the least thing I know about is science. And that was the challenge and the fun, because I had to do an awful lot of research to write this lightweight book. I mean, light in texture. The kind of research in depth that I did on Winds of War and War and Remembrance, but I fought in the war, so I had a base. I had no base at all. That's why I needed Guy Carpenter.
Your historical fiction has dealt with the biggest events of the 20th century. Isn't the collider just a footnote by comparison to the end of that century?
Yes, you might say so. But the interesting thing is that it is so deadly serious, the implications, not of the super collider, of the power and possibilities of science and the limits of intelligence and information of you and me who vote for the congressman and the congressmen who have to appropriate the money. That's a damn serious business and worth writing about.
Hollywood helps you get the comic part.
Well, that I know a lot about.
You're very familiar with that because so many of your books have become successful movies or TV miniseries.
Right.
Have you liked what Hollywood has done with your work?
Well, it depends on the work you're talking about. I liked the miniseries of Winds of War and War and Remembrance. I thought were brilliantly done.
With Robert Mitchum as Pug Henry.
Yeah, that's right, and really a great cast. And about the films, the two-hour films, I have reservations. To do the Caine Mutiny in 2 hours, there's a limit to what you can achieve.
Oh, but Humphrey Bogart is
That's what did it. Humphrey Bogart.
The ball bearings.
Mind you, my image of Captain Queeg was not Humphrey Bogart. But now, Captain Queeg is Humphrey Bogart. There's nothing you can do about it. And I'm perfectly content with that. That was one of the great performances, I think, of his career.
You won a Pulitzer Prize for the Caine Mutiny. Good thing you didn't rest on that success. That was so long ago, and so much followed for you.
Bob, when I finished the Caine Mutiny, I wrote in my diary of my work journal, which I keep, I said, unless I'm mistaken, this is a good book, but it's not yet the war novel I mean to write, which was far down the road, and I knew it. I knew, I was proud of the Caine Mutiny, and I am to this day, but I always intended to write a panoramic work. So there were things ahead, and there was no way to rest. I thought that was, I guess you'd call it my breakthrough, in that I became popular then, but there was a whole body of work still to do.
Has it occurred to you that you've managed to survive the actors who have played your characters?
Survive the actors?
So many are gone.
The Library of Congress were kind enough to throw what you'd call a book party for a hole in Texas. And Bill Sapphire was my interlocutor. And he said, you know, what gives with you geezers? He was talking about Jacques Barzin and myself. How do you keep going? Listen, if you've got work to do and some or other good Lord keeps you alive, then you're discussing facts of nature. Generation comes, generation goes. This world endureth forever.
Writer Herman Woke, an excerpt from his new novel, A Hole in Texas, is at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.